Everyone?
Good morning. Good morning.
I thought everybody could see my face one last time. I kid.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So it's very easy for us to look out for who? Ourselves, right? It's something that's, I feel it's pretty natural. You know, it's almost like a natural thing. We want to make sure that we're preserved, we're fine. You know, we have enough food, we have what we need. And when I was growing up, I grew up in a small town called Canterbury. I do use an accent because it is just trees, cows, and cowboy boots, and that's pretty much it out there. And growing up out there, it was just my mom, dad, me, and my little brother. And eating dinner was normal, you know? We get our food, we pray, we eat together. I eat my plate, what was put in front of me. We kind of go from there. And then I married into a family where it was, you know, let's just say the first time I went to a family Christmas, I was told, get what you want the first time because there won't be anything there the second time. And I was like, okay. And then you learn when you go out to dinner, you know, you go out to a restaurant, they're, hey, what are you getting? And I'm like, oh, wow, they're curious. I find out, no, they just want to know what the different things is so that everybody can try a little piece of it. I'm not used to that. You know, I'm not used to seeing a fork come towards my meal going for my piece of chicken. And I'm like, cool. Yeah, you know. But it really teaches you in those kind of moments. It's like, it's not about me, right? Granted, I'm not going to do that now because of COVID. And that's my excuse. And I'm sticking to it. No. But it is something. It's something that you have to kind of learn, right? It's something that was normal and natural for them, but it wasn't for me at that time. And what I really want to talk about, and what I'm saying, is we lack unity now. I believe we lack unity in family, in church, in the U.S. especially. With what has happened over this past year, it has either torn apart or it has made things stronger, right? And it's hard. We can admit it was a hard year. You know, as pastors, we got a lot of text messages, phone calls, you know, just people wanting to talk and to understand. Getting this and feeling this, it's like, I think about my food. It's mine, right? Now it's like, no, okay, yeah, you want to try something? Sure. Unless I get fish. I know most people don't like fish, but that's besides the point. So talking about unity, there's going to be two parts for today. The first one is going to be our personal unity with Jesus. And then the second part will be more of the unity outside, really for others in those moments. So the text for today is Philippians 2, 1 through 4. So Philippians 2, 1 through 4. And he says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Verse 1 has four examples for us personally. So I will have 4 points for this. They'll be real quick. Number 1, we surrender our hearts and our lives to Jesus. You know, Paul puts it in that in verse 1, being united with Christ. There's the story of Nicodemus coming to Jesus in the middle of the night, because he's embarrassed, he doesn't want anybody to see him, and he wants to do it in quiet, right? And what it really breaks it down to is, Jesus tells Nicodemus, if you want this, you need to be born again. Born again is that moment where you just give everything over to Jesus, right? You're surrendering everything that you have. There's a realization in our lives, and it might hit once, it might hit 100 times, but it is, we cannot do it on our own. Only God can help us, right? We can't. There are times, I know I have done it in my own life, where I tried to do it on my own and I failed miserably. Miserably. You know, it would be like me trying to dive and doing a belly flop. Just me. Cool. But once we surrender our hearts, once we surrender our lives, and even surrendering our pasts, and we give everything to Jesus, our journey starts. Our Christian journey begins. And it's not a journey from, I say yes, and then that's it. The journey's kind of done. But it's a long journey until we pass into eternity, right? It doesn't have that end. You know, we don't want to get to a point where we're like, I know it all. And it's like, no, you don't. Because God, don't ever say that, trust me. I think of the Israelites. You know, they leave Egypt and they're wandering. You know, a lot of them thought they knew what they knew and they thought they knew better. And they're wandering. But what happened? They got stuck in the desert for 40 years. Like, I've tried to drive without a GPS before, and, you know, you get lost for a little while, but not 40 years worth, right? But sometimes we feel like we're stuck in that 40-year circle, like we're just continually doing the same thing. Now, God was always there in front of them. He was the one that was leading, and sometimes we just need to look up, make sure that we're paying attention to where God's actually going. And when we do, we can get to this promised land. And like the Israelites, they made it to the promised land, but that wasn't the end of their story. It was the beginning of another. So we surrender our lives. We go on this journey. We have this relationship with God. We call it Christianity. And that's our first step in our union with Jesus. The second step is we have comfort from His love. And as I stated before, no matter where you've come from, what you've done, where your past is, we know that He is always loving us, always looking out, always there. But sometimes we just have to be the ones to turn our eyes and ears to Him. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were sinners, Christ died for us." Now I see that us, and I make that very personal for myself. That us is me. But then you have to step back and go, that us is us. That's everybody. That's everybody in here. That's everybody that's listening. It's everybody that's out there. Everybody is in that us. He died while we were still sinners. While there are some that are still there, Christ died for them. And when you get that realization, when you find out what He's done for you, that's when you go, Lord, take it all. Take everything. One of the main themes I find when I'm on missions trips and I'm talking about is, especially outside of the U.S., is that there is no hope, right? That there is nobody knows me, nobody knows, you know, I'm all alone, it's tough. And it's hard, you know, when you're trying to scrape by. We have it very, very good. But one of the ways that I know God is moving and God is working in this person is I will personally feel an overwhelming sense of like abandonment, or I'll feel a sense of fear. And it's not mine. I know it's kind of like the Holy Spirit going, you know what? This is how they're feeling. This is what they're dealing with right now. And then I go, okay, Lord, how can I act on this? And then you say something or you pray for them and you tell them, I know that you're good. You know, the Lord loves you and He's here for you and things along those lines. And you're moving on. And I'll talk about this later, about the tenderness and the compassion that you have for them, because you can feel that. It's like the Holy Spirit, the way He's just showing you what's going on. Now, there are also times where I've been dead wrong. You know, you're like, oh, I really feel like you have a headache. And they're like, no, I'm good. And they're like, you sure? You know, no, I'm good. How about now? Now I do. Thank you. You know, but you have to be able to make those mistakes. I want to make sure that I am tuned in, discerning the Lord's voice and not what I think, but what is God saying in those moments. So many times, you know, the easiest thing is basically Jesus loves you. He loves you and will be with you forever, you know, and that He sent the Holy Spirit to be with you forever. And He is also called the Comforter. And number three is we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You know, we receive this Holy Spirit when we surrender our hearts, when we surrender our lives, when we are born again. You know, Paul says in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, we have that gift of the Holy Spirit. He is with us forever. Even when we're feeling lonely, even when we're feeling an outcast, even when we feel like nobody's listening and nobody cares, there are times where you have to hold on. There was a time in my life where I had to hold on to Him. Everything was lost. Everything was gone. All I had was Him. But do you know how I didn't really feel His love tangibly at that moment, but do you know how I knew He loved me? There was people in my life that came into my life that helped me in certain times. That's how. He sent normal, everyday people to help me through a hard time. Because I was helped during that hard time, I'm able to be here now. I'm a normal person that God has just been able to use. He has used others for me to get here, and I and we here at Church of the Living God want to do the same thing for you. We want you to be encouraged, you to be uplifted, you to be known that you're seen, that you're loved, and that you can continue to do God's work wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Wherever your world is, that's your world, that's not mine. God's using you in that area. That was not in my notes. That was for second service. Different ways that we can fellowship with the Holy Spirit. There's worshiping, right? Now, worship isn't just singing. There's singing, there's dancing, there's biblical worship. You can look it up. You can find out what's in there. There's reading the Bible. Ask the Holy Spirit, can you reveal something to me? Can you make something new, make something fresh? And let me tell you, it happens every single time. There's those prayer times, you're having your own personal prayer time, or you're praying for somebody and you just don't know what to pray, but you know that there's something, right? You know that there's something that's there. And I just have to find it. Sorry, here it is. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. My weakness at that point is not knowing what to pray for, right? For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Wow. When I don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit does? Sweet. Right? So fellowship with the Holy Spirit, it is for sustaining us daily. We need that daily sustain. We need that shot of the Holy Spirit to get us through some days. Sometimes we need a bigger shot than others, right? And some days we need boosters multiple times, and I call that coffee. But we need to daily have those sustaining Holy Spirit moments. That way we can sustain our life, especially through the year that we've just had. So the first three points of just about basically us with unity, surrender your hearts and lives to Jesus, be born again. We have comfort in His love. He died for us, right? And we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That is with us, but also when we don't know what to pray, He is there for us. Now we look into the unity with Christ, but with others in mind, not just about ourselves. And number one is living a life of tenderness and compassion. You know, you think of tenderness and you think of compassion, and honestly, I think of a mom, right? The moms have the tenderness, the moms have the compassion. And there are those moments where sometimes it's not just the mom, you know, dad. I am emotional when it comes to movies. I get into them, I'm sorry, you know? I remember watching The Lion King with a bunch of my friends. We're in the living room, we're all watching it for the first time, and I'm in the corner on a chair like this, like, yeah, no, this movie's good, you know? Yeah, you know. That tenderness refers to the sensitivity to others' needs or feelings. We have that. We've gotten that feeling. Some people tend to take that on more than they need to, but you have that side of it. And compassion is the feeling, the sorrow of another person and desiring to help alleviate it. You know, you're trying that compassion. You're basically the Tylenol. You want to be the one that helps alleviate it. Oh, I should have used a leave. Man, Lost that one. Third service will get the Aleve. But it's that moment. It's like you want to be able to help them. But sometimes you don't know what to say. Sometimes you don't know what to do. But there's an action side to compassion. There's an action side to tenderness. You know, maybe it's just listening. I do tell people, those who are getting married, especially the one who is going to be a husband, I go, there are times where you're going to need to just listen. Don't open your mouth. Just listen. Trust me on this one. Right? It's like, I have the experience. I'm just trying to save you. Just don't try to fix the problem. They just want to be able to get it out. So that's one of those things. You know, maybe you know how you can give advice and you're able to give that. Or if you know them well enough, maybe they need a meal, they need a coffee, you know, or they just need to be checked on daily. Or it's just quality time, a shoulder to cry on. Who knows? But this tenderness and this compassion needs to be a part of who we are, and it needs to be an action. And it's not always a natural thing for some. You know, some are just, for me, I have zero compassion and zero tenderness when a kid starts whining. Like, oh, I want this. I'm like, I'm out. I can't tell you. I'll tell you a story. I'm going to do it. We were in the car and we're like, we're going to go get Rita's. Rita's is Italian ice and custard, right? And my daughter loved it. The kids are in the back and they're like fighting and they're complaining. I'm like, I won't go to Rita's if you keep it up. And they're like, hey, whatever. And they start whining. I'm like, I got there and pulled it in reverse and left. That's a story they can tell for the rest of their lives too. But it's a moment. It's like, I can't take this anymore. My tenderness, my compassion, I literally threw it out the window and drove away, right? Where luckily I have a wife that has a little more tenderness, a little more compassion for those types of things. We balance them out evenly. So going to NYSM, which is the New York School of Urban Ministry, we do a lot of homeless ministry. And it's hard work. You know, you tend to feel bad. You tend to take on some of what's going on. You know, you see these people, they're like, they've been on the street for a while. Some of the people are on the street because they lost a job or couldn't afford housing or things along those lines. And we instantly want to fix the person and their problems. But most of the time, they just want to be heard. They want to know that they're seen. Because when you're sitting on the street, when we can go back there, I encourage everybody to go. Because when you're on the side of the street and you're talking to a homeless person, do you know who notices you? Nobody. Nobody cares. They're in their own world. And that's not what Jesus has asked us to do, right? We're to love everybody. We're to love all. And when you're over there, you kind of feel what they feel like. People walk by, they don't even look at you. It's tough. So they just want to be heard. And I'm actively listening, like I said, to the Holy Spirit. How can I help? Is there something I can say or do? Sometimes it's listening and going, I'm so sorry. Can I pray for you? Yeah. Okay. Loving those who are in front of you. That person that is in front of you is the one that matters. It's not the people that are walking by at that moment. God has called you to that certain spot, that certain person. I have seen people weep when I have told them that I am from the U.S. and I went to their country to meet that person. God sent me for you to pray for you. And something happens there. There's a faith, there's a knowing. God does see me. God does care for me. It's an act of compassion. And the number two, I have about seven of them, so this is the last one. But number two is being like-minded. I want to start off with things that we can agree on, right? There is one God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus came down to earth and was made man. He died on the cross for our sins and was raised again on the third day, right? We're doing good. Jesus will come back. And the Bible is God's word breathed, right? But there are, you know, this is the backbones of our Christian faith. This is where we can start. But when we bicker and fight about things outside of this, it's off-putting to so many others. If I was to grade Christians online, we would get a failing grade. We're mean. It's not just us, and I'm not blaming anybody here, but I want to put it out there. I feel like the Lord really wanted me to say this. There's no unity when we're bickering amongst each other about something silly. Does that really matter? What example is that to others? You know, I have talked, I have researched what others believe, you know, and they're like, why would I want to be a Christian when they fight amongst themselves? I don't want to be part of that. I had that with my own family. That hurts. And I don't want to be like that. Pastor Dave said last week, you know, if we stopped bickering about like politics and all of this other stuff, masks and no masks, and we're just talking and speaking the gospel, we'd be in revival. I think he's right. Oh, yeah. But we are getting there. I am seeing glimmers of hope. We had the word that said the light is getting brighter, the darkness is getting darker, and there's no gray. We're the light. We're the ones. We are able to do that, to go on, to move, and get God's word out there. Elijah, you can come on up. Being united with others, for an example, here at Church of the Living God, we have a monthly pastor's prayer breakfast. Now, we can have up to a dozen, maybe a little more, of different ministers from around the area, all different denominations. You know what we do the whole time? We bicker and fight about the little. No, we don't. We're like, hey, how are you doing? It's a moment and a time where we just talk. We hang out. What's going on? What are you guys up to? What are you thinking about this? It's a way to interact, to talk. We're not fighting. Even though we have different reasons and different beliefs about certain things, worship looks different. The word looks a little different. You know what's the same? Those first backbones that I talked about, and that's what we build off of. And from those relationships, we were able to help the Salvation Army. Did you guys see the giant thank you card that we got out in the foyer? If not, you'll see it when you go out. Major Mike Himes sent us, as I'm saying, the biggest thank you card that I've ever seen. He thanks us here at Church of the Living God for helping out. And you know what? We helped in our slots that we filled. Do you know how much we raised? $4,383.61. Ringing bells. Come on. That's that unity. The Salvation Army and us are a little different, but we can get together. And I know we can all get together. We can all be one. So let's surrender our hearts. Make sure that we are born again. Let's start from the beginning, right? We have that comfort in His love. We have fellowship in the Holy Spirit. We live a life of tenderness and compassion actively. And that we're also like-minded. Why don't we stand? We live in a time right now where gatherings, personal interactions, Christmas, Thanksgiving, it looked so different. It was so much smaller, right? I was talking to somebody yesterday, and she goes, actually, it was kind of nice. I got to watch my kids open their presents, and we didn't have to go anywhere else. Wow. But then there's others where it's like, we're missing family members, right? I didn't get to see my mom. I didn't get to see my grandfather. It was hard. But what I do have is a phone. And I have to be able to use it. And it's something that I really feel like God has really imparted on me. It's like, pick up your phone. If you think about somebody, call them. Send them a text. Let them know that you're thinking about them. If you haven't talked to them in 2 years, text them anyways. You be the one that kind of starts that side. You be the one that starts it. I believe this is the time where we're going to start seeing more unity. We're going to be stronger, right? When I'm done, there's going to be a few people up here. They're going to be here for praying with you. If you are not born again, if you have not surrendered everything that you have to Jesus, today's your day. If you need somebody to just listen to you and pray for you because you don't have the words to express how you're feeling, they would love to be able to partner with you in that moment. Or if you just need physical healing, they are here to pray over you and with you at that time as well. Why don't we pray together? Lord, you are the perfect example of what compassion and tenderness is. You showed us what it's like to love. not just those who are in our own circle, but everybody. You loved enemies. You loved the outcasts. You loved those who were thrown to the side. Lord, let us be able to follow in those steps. Lord, let us start in our own hearts. Let us start in our own souls to just grieve after you. And Lord, you fill those cracks of emptiness. You fill those places that are lacking. Lord, your grace is enough for us in those moments. So Lord, I pray right now that those who have those cracks, those who feel dry, those who feel empty, that you fill them now in the name of Jesus, whether they are here or listening at home. Lord, you are the only one that saves. So let us realize that we need you 100%. In your name, amen. Everybody have a great day. Happy New Year, and God bless.